Well, after those comments from our chairman, you are certainly left in no doubt at all concerning what we're going to talk about tonight. And that is this whole area of Bible teaching in the local church, and specifically the notion of having a program that we can follow. Now, the fact that we've had this meeting arranged means that to a large extent we're more or less of one spirit, or at least we're interested in the subject. And so I want to speak mainly on the practical aspects of how this program will work. But I would like to put things in perspective at the beginning by having a couple of brief readings and making some comments concerning the role of Bible teaching in the church. Now, my two readings are from Acts chapter 20 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I have given studies such as this frequently, many occasions in different places, and I'm well aware of some of the objections that are raised and some of the questions that are answered. Now, some of the questions, of course, are out of a genuine desire for people to know what is the best thing to do. Other questions come from those who are not at all convinced that what I'm talking about is something that they want in their church, and so they tend to challenge the things that I've been saying. I hope that as we move through tonight, I'm going to have a combination of answering genuine queries and anticipating some of the objections that we're likely to get. Incidentally, I intend to go for the length of this tape, and then we're going to throw the floor open for questions. We have this overhead projector here, and we're going to put various slides up there on the screen so that we can talk about things. By this time you've found your place in Acts chapter 20. Paul, speaking to the elders of the church in Ephesus in verse 27, said, "I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." Take heed to yourselves, he says to the elders, and to the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you guardians, to feed the church of the Lord, which he has obtained with his own blood. Elders, to feed the church of the Lord. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, a few references there, to point out that Bible teachers are among the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to the church. But not all are Bible teachers. This program that I'm going to talk about is not to encourage us to let everybody have his shot, everybody have a go at preaching in the church. On the contrary, it's those who do have the gift who do the job, and those who don't have the gift don't do the job. Let us read 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. "Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be uninformed." At times, I'm afraid we are very uninformed. We are guided by feelings, hunches, or traditions that have been pursued for years and years. We're uninformed concerning how the spiritual gifts work. "Well," says Paul, "I don't want you to be uninformed." And so he goes on to give us this teaching, which I'm not going to expound now, but I will read a couple more verses. For example, verse 4. "There are varieties of gifts." Notice there's variety in the gifts, but it's the same Spirit. "There are varieties in service, but it's the same Lord." So we do different jobs in the church. Some can do some things, others can do others. But it's the same Spirit which gives the unity. The body functions best when all the different members of the body do the things they are fitted for. So it is in the church. The church functions best when each of the Christians discharge those gifts for which the Holy Spirit has equipped them. Verse 11. "These are inspired by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ." Verse 27. "You are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, healers, helpers, administrators, speakers in various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues?" And of course, what he's getting across is, no, they don't. Only some have these gifts. He goes on to conclude, "earnestly desire the higher gifts." Well, there you have a few verses to begin with. Let me now very briefly concerning the need for teaching in the church. In the circles that most of us come from, there has been a tradition that's developed over the years where in the meeting of the church, where we meet for worship and we have the Lord's Supper, there has not been, in some cases anyway, there has not been a regular ministry of the word using chosen speakers and chosen subjects. Whereas in other meetings of the church, we aren't at all hesitant in inviting certain speakers to speak, and sometimes we may even suggest subjects for them to speak on. I believe that the Spirit leads those people who are elders in the church to plan out a program so that they can feed the church. Now, as Christians, we are ones in whom lives the Spirit of the living Christ. It is He who directs our lives. Our lives are lived under the Lordship of Jesus Christ as His Spirit works through us. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't plan anything. We plan all sorts of things in our ordinary everyday activities, in our workaday life, in our family lives, in our church lives. We have activities we engage in, and we work out what we are supposed to do. And that, of course, is all part and parcel of the total Christian life in which we live by the power of the Spirit of God. Concerning the Holy Spirit's activity in the teaching of the church, we had it spelled out very clearly for us in the two parts we just read. The Holy Spirit in Corinthians 12 has given gifts to the church, and the people who have those gifts discharge them. That's what the Holy Spirit gave them the gifts for. And now as they have those gifts, they put them into use. And in Acts chapter 20, the Holy Spirit has appointed elders in the church to feed the church. It is not that the elders are to sit around hoping that somebody else gets motivated to preach. On the contrary, it's the elders who take the initiative. They have been put there by the Holy Spirit for that job. Now they have to see that they carry out their job, and they are to feed the church. Much the same, you might say, as a mother would feed her family. She doesn't sit around hoping that they pick up scraps or that somehow they get a meal now and again. She plans out a diet of food for them so that they are nourished. Likewise in the church, the elders are to feed the flock. They feed it through the word, and so with the same sense of care and conscientiousness as a mother looking after her family, they look after the church, and they work out how they're going to feed it on the word of God. Now, too often, what happens is we get snippets here and there, bits and pieces at random, and there is no balance in the teaching. We read in Acts that Paul said, "I did not shrink from giving you the whole counsel of God," a well-rounded out teaching, and that is consistent with what Jesus himself said to his disciples. "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them all things that I have commanded you." The commission that Jesus entrusted to his followers is to teach all things. The example which Paul gave to the elders in the church in Ephesus was that he gave them the whole counsel of God. And the duty he entrusted to them as they looked after the church now was that they likewise were to feed the church of God in this filled out manner that we're speaking about. We want to equip people in instruction in basic books of the Bible, in topics, in doctrine, in practice, concerning the church, concerning society. We want to expound the meaning of the Bible. We want to show how it's relevant to everyday life. And we have to do this in whatever meetings are available to us, through whatever avenues we have. There might be home Bible study groups or cell groups or formal meetings of the church, but whatever, we have to make sure that we discharge these duties. Well, now let me move on to speak specifically concerning this teaching program. Now, just before I flash the thing onto the screen, what I've done here is to plan out simply 1 year. Now, this is just a 1 year program. If you can just think in terms of 1 year, I think you'll find it's very simple to follow. I have divided the year into four quarters. That means there are 13 weeks in each quarter. Now, I have simply based my program on 12 weeks because that's easy to work out. 12 can be divided in any number of ways. 13 is a very awkward figure to deal with. So we work on 12 weeks, which leaves 1 week free. Or, if you like, two talks free. I'm working on two talks per week. You can have any number of meetings, but I think that if we just start with two, it's very simple to handle. Most churches would have at least two meetings a week where there is some teaching from the Bible given. I have called those meetings Meeting 1 and Meeting 2. Now, Meeting 1 would be the main meeting of the church, perhaps the Sunday morning in most cases, where the church meets together for worship. They have the Lord's Supper together, and after that there is usually some ministry from the Word of God. Meeting 2 could be the traditional Sunday evening meeting, or the morning family service, which some people have, or if you like, it could be a midweek service, but I'm not too much worried about what meeting two happens to be. I would think that any church would have its equivalent of these two meetings. Now, of course, there are many other services. There are ladies' meetings, there are cell groups, there are youth meetings, and if you wanted to develop a wider program to embrace all those activities, well, of course you can. All you simply do is develop the skeleton that I'm going to present here. But I'm working on a very simple arrangement of four quarters of 12 weeks each, or if you like, 24 talks. So the whole scheme is based on 24 talks per quarter, leaving two talks free. They don't have to be the same Sunday, as you'll see when we split the thing up, that they can occur anywhere. That gives a little bit of flexibility. If you don't want that number of talks, well, of course, you just simply reduce it. What I'm presenting here is not a hard and fast program that's going to have you imprisoned, but there must be flexibility, and you can increase or decrease the number of talks as you wish, but at least you've got something to start from. Another point I should make at the beginning is that I make no distinction here between teaching and preaching. That is, preaching to the non-Christian and teaching for the Christian. Because when you read the New Testament, you find that the words teach and preach, or teacher and preacher, or teaching and preaching, are very often used interchangeably. In general, you might say, yes, it's preaching to the non-Christian, but you also find in the New Testament quite often it talks of teaching the non-Christians. And when it comes to teaching the Christians, you also find in the New Testament it says preaching to the Christians. As you read through the book of Acts and the letters of the New Testament and also the Gospels, you'll find that the two words are largely interchangeable. I think the evidence of the New Testament is surely sufficient for us, and if we don't want to accept that evidence, then surely we have the evidence of our own experience to back it up, that if the Bible is taught, explained, preached from, simply in a way that's relevant to the audience, everybody is going to benefit from it. Of course, there are going to be some books and some topics which are not really going to be all that useful for non-Christians. And so you don't put those books or those topics into that slot where you have a wider audience. You leave those topics for those people who are committed Christians and already demonstrating that through their participation together in the Lord's Supper. But there are many other books and many other topics which are going to be very relevant to all people everywhere. And one of the great facts that I've observed over the years, and it gets impressed upon me more and more as I move around in different places, is that what most people lack is knowledge, understanding. They simply don't know what Christianity is about. Many have a vague idea about God or about Jesus or about the Bible or church or something, but it all drifts around in a vacuum. Time and again I've found that when people have given a simple, straight exposition of a book or a Bible topic, the non-Christian people, the unchurched people, really do appreciate it because they are learning something of what Christianity is about. We've got to stop this idea of thinking that through one fire and brimstone sermon in 30 minutes, we're going to have people flocking to repentance. In a society such as ours, where there has been such an influence of Christianity and where a lot of people would call themselves Christians even if they're not, what we need, I believe, is to give people a greater basis on which to believe, a greater understanding of what Christianity is all about, so that they will see why it is that we believe in God and why it is that Jesus Christ came and what he did teach and why he did die, and so it goes on. And as we teach the Bible in this way, in a way that's going to be relevant to people, I believe that we're going to see great responses from the unchurched section. The very fact that they come to church means that they have some interest, even if they're not committed Christians. But through the family hours and the other outreach type activities we have, we are seeing these people come into the church. And I can say, I think without exception, in the many churches where I've been involved in programs such as this, those who have come from unchurched families are the ones who are really appreciating this more systematic approach to explaining what Christianity is and how it is relevant to us in our present day society. The program has no element of automatic success about it. There's nothing magical about the program. All the program does is set out a few suggestions concerning how we might move over different areas of the Bible and Christian doctrine and practice and teach those matters in a way that's going to be orderly and helpful. Whether the thing is successful or not is largely going to depend upon the quality of the preaching and teaching that's given. I'll probably use the word preach rather than teach as I move through, but if I go from one to the other, there's no specific significance in the differentiation between preaching and teaching. But coming back to where I left off there, The success is going to depend upon the quality of the preaching that is given. And so we must have people who are going to be able to preach in a way which is meaningful to those who are sitting in the audience listening. Also, it's going to give us the opportunity to introduce young men from our own churches who we want to give the opportunity to see if they can develop gifts. So there are a number of things in the back of my mind as I talk about this program. Firstly, we want to make sure that the message comes across and that people are helped by it, but also that it gives us the opportunity to develop local gift. Now, we should be using local men who are gifted, and also invited speakers from outside who are gifted. But we want only the best. Please let us not get the idea that if we're going to use local men, then we've got to move around in turn and let everybody have a go. No, if there are only two or three or four who are capable of giving constructive and helpful, understandable ministry, then they are the only ones who ought to do it. But we are going to see young men developing, and we can give them the opportunity to speak from time to time. We can encourage them and train them and introduce them into the program. Now, some of them, again, are not going to be a success, and that's part of the work we're doing as we're sorting out those who have certain gifts and seeking to develop those gifts, and then we can see those who don't have gifts, and so we can channel them into some other avenue of service. It goes without saying that as we introduce these trainee type of people into the program, we would do so in that meeting of the church where we tend to be all Christians together and we're more understanding. I don't think it's fair that we should put those people up first time to an audience which is very mixed and which contains many people who are unchurched or non-Christian. I think far better that we have the more experienced speakers for that type of audience. I've worked on a basis of around about 30 minutes a talk, where you have better speakers who are better able to communicate and hold the audience's attention without any difficulty, then I think we ought to have 40 minutes given to those people. But your program should be flexible enough to accommodate these variations. Another point that I've done here, in fact, I think I'll put the thing on the screen now. There. Now you can see there's your 1 year divided into four quarters. Now the three different colours there, just to explain the scheme. The top line is Old Testament, the middle line is New Testament, and the bottom line is topical. Now you'll notice that in each of those four quarters you have something from Old Testament, something from New Testament, and something from topical areas. Now it's my belief that if you keep moving through the Bible teaching the Old Testament and the New Testament, then in the course of your teaching you're going to cover every area of Christian doctrine and practice anyway. But side by side with that, we must remember that we do need specific teaching on specific subjects at times, and so I have given an area there for topical matters, which will take in Christian life and service, teaching about God, theology, practical issues concerning the church, and so on. I'm not going to give you all the details here, but in brief, I have divided off the Bible into a number of portions. That is, you've got the law, the prophets, the historical books, the Gospels in the New Testament, the letters of Paul, and so on. Now, the way I've worked it is that throughout that 1 year, we are going to have something from every one of those major areas of the Bible. Likewise, we are going to have something from every major area of Christian doctrine and practice. Just believe me for the time being, but we do have that represented as we move through that scheme. We want a balance, in other words, a balance between Old Testament and New Testament, a balance between the different types of books within the Bible, the different types of teaching that is given in the Bible, and also between the teaching doctrinal type subjects and the practical type subjects relating to Christian living society and the church. Incidentally, besides this 1 year program, I have three other 1 year programs. You'll find those on the sheets that you can collect as you leave. In fact, I think if somebody gave those out, it might be helpful. No, don't give them out. Leave them for the time being, just to concentrate on this. We don't want to confuse things. But you'll find on those sheets, I have set out three other one-year programs, and they correspond. In other words, first quarter corresponds to first quarter, second quarter to second quarter, and so forth. Which meant that if you didn't like something that was in one quarter there, if you look at that screen, for example, supposing you don't like to do Acts. Well, if you look in the next year, you'll find that corresponding there we have John's Gospel or something like that. And so you can substitute one for the other. Mind you, I don't think many people are going to find that they don't like anything that's listed there, but the fact that I've arranged these different programs on the same basis, on the same framework all the way through, means that you can interchange one to the other without any hassle whatever. And if you put the whole four together, then eventually you'll finish up covering the whole of the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, all the different books and all the different areas of Christian doctrine and practice. But I'm just speaking about 1 year program, and if you found after 1 year that that was successful, then you could have a go at another program and see if that one was useful to you. And so you could keep going year by year if you so desired. But we're only committed to 1 year in what we're talking about here tonight. All right. How do you work out the details? Now, the way I've got that set down there, it doesn't look terribly inspiring. In fact, it looks pretty boring. You just have a module of six. We've got 24 talks per quarter. In the first quarter there, you'll notice there are 12 on the Old Testament, 6 on the New Testament, and 6 on the topicals. When you come to the second quarter, you'll notice there are 6 on the Old Testament, 12 on the New Testament, and 6 on the topical. Now, in each of the quarters, there are going to be the 24 talks. You'll notice that in the first quarter, we have 12 Old Testament, whereas in the second quarter, only 6 Old Testament, but then the other way around for the New Testament. In the first quarter we have 6, but in the second quarter 12. And so they alternate through, which means that we have a balance evenly between Old Testament and New Testament, and then every quarter has those 6 topical talks. It's my suggestion that you plan out a quarter well in advance. Do it a quarter at a time. It's much easier to plan 3 months at a time in one block. Do it about 6 months ahead. I suggest that the elders get together and discuss potential speakers. We don't want one person controlling the whole thing. Now, one person's going to have to do the final breakup and do all the contacting and all the putting of people into slots and dates. But I believe it should not be left to that one person to decide the whole program. We want a balance, and we want the balance of views represented. We don't just want one person's favourite speakers coming across all the time. We want to represent other people's preferences as well. So I think the elders as a group should discuss these matters and then leave it to one person to do the actual arranging. I have found that always when we put a suggestion to a speaker, he is happy to speak on the subject suggested. In fact, I have, I don't know how many hundreds and hundreds of weeks of speakers I have arranged over the years in these sorts of programs. And only once have I ever had a person who said he didn't want to speak on the subject nominated, although he was very happy to speak on something else. Apart from that one exception, all the people have been delighted to have been invited to speak, and so we find a speaker who was suited to the subject. In other words, the program is based on the subjects we want to get across, and then we talk it around with each other and find out who would be a suitable person to give the teaching on that book or that subject. Then I get in touch with that person, ask him if he'd like to come along for 3 Sunday nights to do this particular part of the book or whatever it happens to be. And as I say, he normally is only too pleased to do so. We don't dictate any particular version of the Bible to use, and we don't dictate to the person how he must handle the subject. We have a great variety. I should think the majority of our speakers that I'm familiar with would have used the RSV or the NIV. Some, of course, use the King James Version, some use the Good News Bible, some use the ANSV. But we leave that entirely up to the speaker, and likewise the way a person handles a book. That guarantees variety. We do not want a verse-by-verse study through every book. Some people will handle it in a simple expository style with application. Now, if a person is gifted in that way, fair enough. I should imagine that would be the way that would appeal to me most. If I was doing something, I'm quite happy just to go through in a quick run-through, running commentary type of exposition of the book with a relevant application. But not everybody likes that, and not everybody can do that. Other people might simply choose a theme or themes within the book. I know one chap who gave some studies on John's epistles, and so he had God is love, God is light, God is fellowship, or something else. Just 3 themes, or 3 or 4 major texts out of the book. Doesn't have to do every chapter, every verse, just 3 or 4 major texts or characters. He could just choose 2 or 3 characters out of that book and build a number of talks around those characters. We are not after an exhaustive exposition of every book. And by leaving it open to people to handle in different ways, we can guarantee ourselves considerable variety. I have had people raise the objection that, oh, we wouldn't have people in our church who could give that type of exposition. But as I talked with these, I found they did have people who could give the type of exposition that I'm talking about. You see, I'm not after the verse-by-verse exposition based on the Greek text. What we're after is Bible teaching which is going to be well filled out and which is not going to concentrate on simply one or two favourite passages from the New Testament. I remember speaking one place where he said we wouldn't have anybody who could give four talks on the first letter to the Thessalonians. But when I just quoted to him three or four verses out of chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, I said, have you ever had anybody speak on these verses? And he said, oh yes, we have. Well, I said, what's your problem? There are other verses. The person doesn't have to give a verse-by-verse exposition of two chapters in 35 minutes, but he can take two or three verses. I don't believe that's as good as giving a proper exposition according to what the original writer had written. But we're getting a balance. We are getting something from Thessalonians. We are getting the Word of God, even if it is going to be selected verses out of three or four chapters, or even if it is going to be one or two themes, or a character here or a character there. It's not exhaustive, but we don't want it to be exhaustive. But we are guaranteeing that the Christians are being fed across the whole area of the Word of God. And so we've got to be flexible, again, with the number of talks. It doesn't have to be six, it can be eight, or it can be four. You can push and pull and increase or decrease as you like. You may have to interrupt sometimes to deal with a local need that has arisen. But experience tells us that the majority of speakers who speak in the meeting one, that is the Sunday morning worship, the majority of speakers tend to be local people anyway, and so there's normally no problem in adjusting the program if something else has to be said or a special talk has to be worked in to deal with some local need. There's never been any problem with that sort of thing. I'm going to put another slide on here, and we're going to develop that first quarter. And now notice the first quarter. We have six talks on Joshua, Judges, and Ruth, and six talks on Psalms. That's our 12 for the Old Testament. Then we have six on Acts, that's the New Testament, and then six on home and society. All right, we'll throw this slide on. And there you can see how it breaks up over the 13 weeks. You can see there on the left meeting one and on the right meeting two. Meeting one being the main meeting of the church, perhaps Sunday morning worship. Meeting two, the family service or Sunday evening service. Let us take first of all Joshua, Judges and Ruth. Now, I haven't got anything from Joshua in there at all, because I didn't think that we could, well, to put it another way, I thought it was best, in view of the people that were speaking and the subjects to be handled, that we concentrated on Judges and just skipped Joshua for the time being. You see, you don't have to have Joshua, Judges and Ruth. Joshua can wait for next time. We just concentrated here on Judges. Now, these programs that you're seeing flashed up here on the screen are based on actual church arrangements. So I'm speaking in the past tense. Is this what we did here? This is what we did there. Notice, therefore, that of those six on Joshua, Judges and Ruth, if you look there halfway down in meeting one column, who were the judges? That was the opening talk. The second talk on Deborah, the third one on Gideon, the fourth one on Jephthah, the fifth one on Samson. So there are five talks on Judges, largely built around those major characters. And notice the same speaker has taken all five talks. And then a little bit further down after a break, another speaker gave one talk on the book of Ruth. Now you see again how we had a run of five, but then we gave it a break. Now if you look at the other major subject that we've got there, that is Acts, six on Acts. This was put into the outreach type meeting, that is the family service, which is meeting two in this scheme. And notice that we broke it into two groups of three, with a separate speaker for each group. The first group of three, the same speaker took three consecutive Sunday nights, the infant church, the growing church, the missionary church. And that covered the first 15 chapters of Acts. Then there was a break, and then another speaker came along, and he handled the second three talks, Paul in Europe, consolidating the churches, turning defeat into victory. That is Acts 16 through to 28. Notice how we encourage speakers to give interesting titles. We also like to advertise what chapters are being spoken of so that people can read up in advance if they like. If you have an interesting title, it is a lot more attractive. And so there we have the Acts, and we have also Joshua, Judges, Ruth. Now the six on Psalms. Notice now we use those to break up the program. We didn't go six consecutively on Psalms. If you look at the beginning there, you'll find somebody spoke on Psalm 50, somebody else spoke on Psalm 102, somebody else spoke on Psalm 104. These were different speakers and put in at different times, some morning, some evening, to break up the program. A little bit further down, you'll find somebody gave a talk on Christ in the Psalms, and then there's a couple of other Psalms scattered through. But you can see how we've used those psalms to break the program up and provide variety. And then our other topical section was 6 on home and society. And so we got 6 interesting topics, and we got 6 different speakers to speak on those topics. And you notice that some are in the evening session and some in the morning session. And they're broken up a little. Some of them have 2 or 3 in a run, and then we have a break and then another 2 or 3. The possibilities are endless, but notice how that is split up. The Christian and the home, the Christian and politics, the Christian and permissive society, the Christian and ambition. 4 consecutive nights with a different speaker each time. And that's an outreach type service. And then towards the bottom there you'll see in the morning church service, the Christian and leisure, the Christian and suffering. You can see also a split up there between visiting speakers and local speakers and also young men, as I've given the indication there as to who they are. And if you follow the colour scheme through, you'll find that there's quite a variety there of the number of speakers used. And so the programme guarantees variety, but also guarantees something constructive. You'll see also there are 2 blanks. And they, of course, are the 2 blanks because we've only planned on 24 talks, 12 weeks, rather than 26 talks from 13 weeks. And those 2 blanks, of course, people can organise what they like in those sessions. Variety is there for us. If, for example, we're doing something on Matthew, Mark and Luke, there's no need to start at chapter 1 and finish up at the final chapter. I remember one series we did on Matthew, Mark and Luke where we had the baptism of Jesus, the temptation of Jesus, the miracles of Jesus, the parables of Jesus, the transfiguration of Jesus, you know, 5 or 6 interesting things such as that. Or we might have 4 or 5 on the passion narratives. I think you've got the idea that we've got to be imaginative in what we're doing here. Just very briefly, let me put on that second quarter just to show again how we can get variety into the program. Now the second quarter we have 6 on Proverbs, that's our Old Testament quota for the quarter, 12 on Romans, we have more New Testament on this quarter, and then 6 on church and mission. Well, let's start with the 12 on Romans. You'll notice how we've broken this into 3 or 4 sections. The first 4, the one speaker, 4 consecutive Sunday nights, an outreach service, why salvation is necessary, Romans 1, religion can be deceiving, Romans 2, sinners declared righteous, Romans 3, by grace through faith, Romans 4. A good speaker, a man who knew what he was doing, and he handled those 4 nights. Then there was a break, and then we had one speaker, another man, gave 2 talks on Romans 6, 7 and 8. You can see the titles there. And then things switched to the morning. Notice how you run a series on the evenings or run it in the mornings. Don't try and have morning and evening of the same day. It often doesn't work very well because the audience tends to change. It's better to stick to a run of meetings for one meeting or the other. A run in the evening or a run in the morning or a run straight through the family service or whatever. And then you'll notice how it concludes with 3 talks on those latter chapters of Romans, Christians in society, Christians with their rights and privileges, and Christians planning for the future. That's Romans 12 through to Romans 16. And you notice again we have the one speaker to maintain an element of coherence in the program. So there we had 3 or 4 speakers with 3 or 4 slots each. And we got through the book of Romans that way. The 6 on Proverbs, again, we used to punctuate the program because Proverbs is a book that can be done in bits and pieces. And so one man there gives a talk on God's wisdom and man's. Another one gives a talk on the wise words from Solomon. Another one, wise words from King Lemuel. That's the final chapter of Proverbs. 3 consecutive Sunday mornings, but different speakers adding to the variety. And then a few dotted through the evening program. Proverbs about work. Proverbs about sex. Proverbs about speech. A different speaker on each occasion. And so it guarantees considerable variety. The church and mission, a very important part of the church's life. And so we have a combination, some in the mornings, some in the evenings. What the church is and what the church is not. The use of gifts of the Spirit in the local church. Fellowship in the local church. With a suitable speaker for each of those topics. And then a couple on missions. Nationalism and the missionary. The challenge of the Muslim world. A couple of different types of talks entirely. On Sunday nights, a couple of suitable missionary speakers to address the congregation on those topics. I'm not going to go any further. You get the picture, don't you? You can see from what we're doing there that there is endless possibility for variety, and yet while we're getting variety, it's not a mishmash. It's not dog's breakfast. It's not all over the place. There is a coherence about the whole program. We're working towards a goal. I think I can say that every place that I know of where this type of program has been used, the church has prospered. People have appreciated it. They've got more constructive teaching than they had before, and they've got greater variety than they had before. And so you can see there how from those basic subjects and books which are listed in the basic program at the beginning there, you can see then how that breaks up quarter by quarter into the type of program that you see there. I think that covers most of the main points that I wanted to speak about. Sometimes preachers will give out notes either before or after the talk, as I'm going to give you all some notes to take home with you tonight to delve into these things further. Some speakers will use the OHP, the overhead projector, just like I've been using here tonight. We've found it interesting at times to have a panel, to get two or three people who are mature Christians with expertise in different areas to sit up on the platform and to field questions from the audience, sometimes just one person. That, again, you see some variety from the old stand up and preach at the audience type of arrangement that we're more familiar with. Just every now and again, something different to give people the opportunity to express themselves, ask questions. We had one on the Christian and education. We had another one on the Christian and the family, where a person of suitable experience and spiritual maturity and expertise was up on the platform, threw the whole meeting open, and people asked questions from all over the audience. It was very, very fruitful, but you've got to be careful you get the right person doing that sort of thing. All right, I think I'll call it quits at this point. We'll just catch our breath for a few moments, have a drink, stand up, sing a song or something, and then we're going to have a general discussion period for the next hour or so. Anybody is free then to talk about whatever he wants to talk about, and I'll try and answer any questions you've got. We'll see if we can get some feedback, and I'd like to hear also from any others in this audience who have tried different programs, some of the pitfalls, some of the positive good that has come out of it, some of the things they have learned by the way, and so we can share our experiences together and, I hope, profit from the discussion concerning this very vital part of the church's life.